I am so happy to see all, I can't fit you all in my office, so it's good that you come one at a time. Please come by. But this is wonderful that we can all be here together this morning. I just am so happy. And I am just thankful for Dr. Kuhn for this series and for inviting me to be part of it. And I knew right away which one I wanted to do. I wanted to do the second one, which is, blessed are those that mourn. And then I thought, wait, what did I get into? I don't like to mourn. I like to laugh. I like to be happy. So much so, okay, so this is quite a few years ago. I was with a friend, good friend. I was at her house and we were talking about different stuff. And all of a sudden, she kind of goes, ah, and I start laughing, you know. And she goes, why are you laughing at me? And I go, you're laughing. I'm laughing with you. She says, no, I'm not. I'm weeping. She used the word weeping. And I go, oh. And then she says to me, what kind of a psychologist are you that that laughs at those that are weeping? And I'm going, okay, yes, but I'm thinking through this idea of blessed, right? As Dr. Kuhn talked about, blessed or like happy, satisfied, you'll be flourishing if you mourn. Well, this summer, I started thinking a lot about it while I had kind of a busy summer. People love to come and visit me in Minnesota in June and July. And so I had lots of friends and family come through this summer, which is great, and love it. And I have my cleaning routine. You know, you do the laundry, make the new, you know, the beds, clean sheets, do the dusting, do the clutter, put all the clutter hidden in the closets, got that, and then do the vacuuming. And because my trusty Panasonic Quick Draw this summer was my tool for getting ready for my, I don't know why it's called a Quick Draw, except I think you can quickly draw to get the little popcorns under the seats. That's what I think, why it's called Quick Draw. Anyway, my Panasonic Quick Draw is part of my routine before all my guests come. And so I've got, in my place, I have like a tiny bit of nap on the carpeting, and it's beige carpeting. It's kind of like the color of my hair. Well, actually, L'Oreal 8A, but that's the color of the carpeting. And so I'm, you know, going around getting ready for my guests and vacuuming. And once in a while, though, I see on the carpeting like a little place where it's not in focus. And I go, well, that's kind of bizarre because I just got new trifocals this summer. I can focus on everything. That's pretty cool. And so I'm going, that's kind of weird, but keep vacuuming, keep planning for the next guests. And then I start seeing more kind of parts of the carpeting that are out of focus. So I bend down and touch it, and I feel and pick up like it's like fuzzy hair. And I go, this is weird because I don't have pets. None of my guests brought pets. Oh, well. And I just keep vacuuming for the next guests. But as the weeks kind of go on through the summer, I'm finding more and more of these little clumps of hair. And their color is L'Oreal 8A. And I'm going, I don't shed that much hair. And then I start to think, what is going on? And suddenly it kind of dawned, not suddenly, this has been weeks, right? I go, this is my hair and the vacuum cleaner is on. But I don't think it's working. And then I think about, you know what? Over the past, I've lived in this place for 6 years. I better confess, I don't know if I've ever actually seen the trail. You know where you see a trail of after you vacuumed, you see that this is bad. I don't know that I ever even noticed. You didn't even see the trail of where the... And I go, how long has this like not worked? And I go, well, I get this. I can figure this out. So you guys are going to be proud of me. I went on to YouTube, typed in, how do you open a Panasonic Quick Draw? It's there. And so I learned, yeah, all you have to do, you turn it over like this. You have a little Phillips screwdriver. Do you know what a Phillips screwdriver is? Yes, even the women are saying you know what it is. I'm proud of you. So I open up underneath, just like the YouTube said, and then I see the belt just hanging there. The belt broke. So my little roller did not turn. So all I was doing was pushing around the hair into little clumps for who knows how long. But life is so good today. You'll understand this too. Now that I learned this summer about the DIY culture, I do another little video that says, how do you replace a belt? I watched it about 15 times, got it. And then you can go on Amazon and put in new belt, Panasonic Quick Draw. And it comes in the mail. Who would have thought we can live in this day? So, I got my vacuum cleaner working. But I need somebody to be the witness. Nika, will you be the witness? Everybody give her a hand. All you have to do, Nika. Okay, I'm going to turn it on, and you watch that the little roller, I can't remember how to turn it on. Here it is. Okay, Nika, watch the little roller. Can you see it? It works. Okay, so... actually, I got so excited about DIY culture. Do you know that means do it yourself? Did you guys know that? You're amazing. You're amazing. So I go on and I type in, how do you fix a lamp switch? I did that too. I should have brought the lamp and showed you. It's pretty amazing. But like... for I don't know how long, the vacuum cleaner didn't work. I didn't even know it didn't work. And all I did is push around more little clumps of hair. Here's the point. How will anything change or get better if I don't see what's wrong, if I don't see what needs to change? How is anything going to be restored if I haven't even acknowledged it's been lost? And how is anything going to be healed if I won't see the hurt? So blessed are those who mourn. Mourn, mourning in this context, in this word, actually means to wail, to cry out, to grieve. And it's related to a word that means the expression or impression of pain. Whoa. Well, Bible scholars, though, say that Jesus ends it, or puts this in, right? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Like, Jesus has something for those that are going to admit and mourn and wail and go, this isn't right. This isn't working. Bible scholars say Jesus is probably thinking about and referring to Isaiah 61 when he talks about these words. And this is what Isaiah 61 says. And see if you can't hear Jesus in these words, even as he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Like last week, blessed are the poor in spirit. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. In Luke 4, we find Jesus reading that passage from Isaiah 61 and going, today in your hearing, that is being fulfilled, because that's me, Jesus, saying that. He goes, that's me who does that. Jesus goes, I am the one that will bind up the brokenhearted. Hearts break because of losses, loss of relationship, losing maybe people we love, loss of dreams, of expectations, hearts broken for suffering of other people that you just can't do anything about. Hearts that are broken because you're just not at the point where you want to be. Hearts broken because of what a family's going through. Jesus says, I bind up the broken hearts. And he goes, he gives freedom for the to the captives. People that are just held by things that they can't get out of. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's an unhealthy relationship. Maybe it's just this spiral of patterns of behavior that we can't get out of. The stranglehold of sin. Maybe it's also just that feeling of there is no place for me in this world. I'm just held here. Jesus gives freedom to the captive. And he brings release from the darkness, Isaiah 61 says. Darkness sometimes that just enfolds us where there's like no hope left that we feel. Darkness when it just seems like confusion of what the future's going to be. Darkness of I can't figure out anything that's happening to me. The darkness of I have too much going on in my life and I can't even see when to do it. Jesus brings release and provides that crown of beauty instead of ashes, joy instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of despair. But how? How is he going to do that? Like, he just magically makes everything perfect? All the stuff that is in our life that becomes hard, he just suddenly takes away. He just kind of in this way, everything suddenly is just a smooth sail in life for us. Well, the great promise is one day Jesus will finalize his kingdom and put right every wrong. Someday his kingdom will be finalized and his righteous and just world will be complete. But in the meantime, what do we do? Just wait around? Or do we try to do it ourselves? It was easy, really, for me to learn over the summer how to replace a belt on my vacuum cleaner. It even was kind of easy to learn how to do it myself to change the switch on the lamp. I can't fix my life alone. And I can't fix the world. So what do we do? Because a lot of times, I just want to ignore the stuff that makes me grieve. I want to just think about the happy things. I would rather be able to rejoice with you with all the great stuff happening in your life than have to cry with you with the stuff that is just so painful. It would be easier to ignore. It would be easier to just try to do it ourselves. It's easier for me just to keep going through the routine of even vacuuming and not having to notice it's not working. So what do? Our beatitude says, blessed are those who mourn because they'll be comforted. So that word comfort is an amazing word. It comes also from the Greek word parakaleo. Some of you will recognize it, but we'll talk about it in a little more detail. That word means to be called near, called alongside. And so Jesus says, as you mourn, as you grieve, as you wail, as you cry out for all the stuff that just isn't right, stuff in your own life, stuff that you're watching in people that you love, sin that is abounding, as you cry out to him, he comes near. He is called to come alongside because we can't do it alone. And he doesn't want us to. So he comforts with his actual presence. When I was just finishing my master's in counseling psych, it was my last month before I was going to get my master's degree, and a few of you know this story already, but I had done, you know, well as a student in my master's program, and that last month, I was invited to be on staff, full-time on staff in two different churches to be like their minister of counseling, and I was just so excited. Everything was going so well. I was dating a young pastor from Winona. Things were just like beautiful. I was going to graduate, actually, magna cum laude. I mean, things were wonderful. My last month of my master's degree program, my academic advisor called me in, and he said, "So what are you going to do after graduation?" And I said, "Well, I just kind of have to decide between these two churches what I'm going to, which, where I'll go." And he said, "Glad you have some place to go, because I don't think you can really work with, I didn't think you can work with people. I still don't," he said, "but glad you've got something to do." And same month, I had been working with youth like the year before in a church in a different state, but I hadn't been there for like 6 months. Same month, got a call from one of the church leaders blaming me for all the youth problems. Same month, both churches decided they didn't want me. Same month, I go over with some ice cream to this young man that I was, you know, pretty serious with, go over to his place with some ice cream to share. He comes to the front door. The front door is kind of open, and I see in a good friend of mine, and he kind of closes the door and comes out, sees I've brought ice cream for him, well, for us, and all I can think about, this ice cream is going to melt if I have to go home with it. So I say, take the ice cream. I finish my master's degree with, I felt like nothing. I move back to my little hometown in Wisconsin, which at that time in U.S. life, moving back to your little hometown only meant failure. And I got a job, but I really wanted to be in ministry. I had felt called to ministry. I got a job just to pay some bills. The job took so much of my time. I didn't have time for anything. Didn't have time for friends, didn't have time for church, didn't have time for ministry, didn't have time for anything. All I had time for was job, go home, and cry. And this is kind of weird, but I started to like keep track of how many Kleenex cry it was that night. I put it on my calendar. Does that seem weird or not? Like if I got to 7 Kleenexes that night, that was a bad night. And this went on for almost 2 years until one night I started praying in a different way. And I said, "Jesus, I don't care about anything. I don't care if I get out of this my little hometown again. I don't care if I get a ministry again. I don't care about I don't care about anything. I just have to know you deeply, intimately, personally. You have to be my whole life, or I'm not going to make it." And I cried out and I mourned all that I felt was lost. And what Jesus did is come near me. And since then, has walked alongside me every moment of my life, through hard things and good things. But what it has caused in me is being blessed, is being joyful, is having that soul full of flourishing in Jesus, because I know he's with me. Some of you will recognize that word, parakaleo, from John 14, when Jesus promises the paraclete, the comforter. He promises his spirit, his Holy Spirit, to come and be with us, in us, alongside of us, every single moment of life. But, you guys, that's for those who mourn. Because how are we ever going to be comforted if we don't expose the pain? How will we know Jesus comes alongside and his Spirit fills us if we've never asked him? How will we ever be forgiven if we don't even admit our sin? How's anything going to change if we don't know and say we're broken and what's wrong? So today, right now, it would be the worst thing for me to not let you mourn and be comforted. So this is what I'm going to do, and I want to explain because I want you to be blessed. So I'm just going to ask if, like, and just kind of raise your hand if any of you, let's just try one. Have any of you ever, and maybe still, kind of feel the pain of losing somebody you love? Anybody there? Anybody that has just felt the pain of, like, losing a dream, a hope, maybe even because physically you can't do anymore what has been a dream, like losing a dream, some hope? Anybody mourning as well, like family stuff? You grieve for your family. Anybody just grieving sin? Maybe your own, maybe people you love, maybe just sin in our world that destroys. Anybody just grieving sin? How about anybody just like grieving, losing hope that you're able to do it alone and you're recognizing, I can't do it and I'm overwhelmed? So I want to say to you, Jesus wants to come alongside. He does. He will. Because those who mourn will be comforted. I'm going to close in prayer, but I'm going to ask one more thing. In 2 Corinthians 1, there's a beautiful passage too that says, the God of all compassion and comfort comforts us, same word, comes alongside us so that we can comfort or come alongside others. And so once again, my brothers and sisters, we're not made to do this alone. We mourn together. We grieve together. We seek the Lord together. We walk together as he walks together with us. So I'm going to ask that we just stand as I pray. But as you feel led, if there's somebody here that you know just needs you to put their hand on their shoulder because of something, maybe they even raised their hand about pain or grieving, find that person, put your hand on their shoulder. If you need to move, that's fine. If you need somebody just to put their hand on your shoulder, find a hand, bring the hand over, okay? Put your hand on somebody's shoulder that needs you. And if you need a shoulder, let somebody know. And then I'm going to pray. And please, will you promise me this? you will talk to each other, talk to the chaplain, talk to the students' chaplains, talk to somebody about anything you need to mourn for and receive that joy of spirit. Will you promise me that? If you need to talk to somebody, you will. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you have not left us alone. And Lord, even though it is painful to have to look at those things that just grieve us, Lord, that in the end you will walk with us so that we can have within us your joy, your satisfaction, your peace, because that's who you are. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here that right now may just be feeling grief. May you, Lord Jesus, allow them to cry out to you, knowing you will respond. Help us as a community, Lord, to walk with one another, to comfort one another, to be called near to each other. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Go and be blessed. Go be a blessing to someone today.